3 years ago, I was in the markets for a new car. The suspension on the car that I was driving at the time was completely shot, and it was going to cost more money to repair it than the car was worth. It was becoming dangerous to drive the car, especially in the snow. But despite this, it still took me a long time to come to a decision. I'm not an impulse buyer, and I spend a lot of time researching and reviewing a product before deciding to buy it or not, especially if the product is expensive. Another reason for my delay was my fear of going to a car dealership. I had never done that on my own before, and I was afraid of being sold something that I really didn't want. In the end, I did go to a local dealership, and I got the car that I wanted. But unfortunately, I ended up paying for a number of extra things, which I haven't used over the past 3 years, and which I probably never will. The most ridiculous thing I was convinced to buy was a special sticker for my rear view mirror. I was told that if potential thieves see the sticker, they will not break into your car. This cheap plastic sticker, which cost $200, is now peeling off my mirror. And only 6 months after buying my car, it was broken into. The thief was clearly not deterred by the presence of the sticker. As you can tell, I'm not bitter about that at all. I've completely gotten over it. I think a lot of us are afraid of being scammed or being sold something that doesn't live up to our expectations. That's true in a literal sense, but also in a figurative one. We can be afraid at times that people aren't being honest about who they are. We can see that they're trying to earn our trust, but we wonder if they deserve our trust. Maybe they're just trying to sell themselves to us in that particular moment so that they can later use us to their advantage. And maybe once they no longer have need of us, they'll betray us or cast us aside. Many of us can point to a friendship or a business relationship where we experienced this kind of thing. We know only too well that people can scam us in a whole variety of ways, even if they're not literally trying to sell us something. We can also feel this way when it comes to our relationship with God. It's often the case, after someone begins growing in the spiritual life in a new way, that for a while this person will experience a great deal of joy and spiritual delights. They begin to pray more, and they find that they are more at peace. They become involved in a new ministry at their parish, and they find that they're more excited and energized about their faith. But then there comes a time when the feelings of joy, peace, and excitement begin to diminish and sometimes go away entirely. Suddenly, praying becomes an arduous task. Suddenly, the ministry, which was once a source of new energy, becomes a source of exhaustion and frustration. As it turns out, this kind of spiritual experience is common and very normal. It's an experience that's meant to purify and strengthen us. And if we persevere through it, we will grow in love as we learn to do God's will, not because of the joy, peace, and excitement that come from doing it, but we'll learn to do God's will because we love God and desire to please Him. But when we first experience this and don't realize that it's common and very normal, our first reaction is to think that we're being scammed by God. You give me joy, peace, and excitement, God, and then you leave me high and dry. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. These famous words of the prophet Jeremiah are often our own words in these moments. If we hadn't heard the Beatitudes so many times before, we might also be afraid that we are being duped or scammed by Jesus with these words. because we've heard them so many times before, their shock value has kind of become lessened for us. But Jesus, if we listen closely, Jesus promises that we will experience beatitude, that is a kind of supernatural happiness, when we practice such virtues as humility, meekness, and purity of hearts. Jesus also promises this supernatural happiness to those who mourn and who are insulted and persecuted for their faith. And he doesn't just say that we will experience this beatitude, this supernatural happiness. He doesn't say that we'll only experience this in heaven. He says that we'll experience it even now, here on earth, even if in only a partial and incomplete way. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. In other words, rejoice and be glad now, even as you are mourning, even as you are insulted, even as you are persecuted for your faith. If we've never really tasted this supernatural happiness ourselves, or if we've never seen it at work in the life of a fellow believer, we might think, if we are being honest with ourselves, that what Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes is just too good to be true. We might think that the Beatitudes are a scam, that Jesus is selling something that's not worth the paper it's printed on. These are nice thoughts, we might say to ourselves, but at the end of the day, they're not a roadmap to true happiness. Happiness is not found by being poor in spirit, that is, by being humble and obedient to God's will, but by putting myself above others and living by my own rules. Happiness is not found by meekness or purity of hearts, but by indulging my desires for anger, for lust, and for envy. Happiness is not found by risking insults or persecution by practicing my faith openly, but happiness is found by just going along with what everyone else is saying and doing. We often think this way, we often act this way, and yet we are unhappy. So maybe Jesus isn't scamming us. Maybe the Beatitudes aren't too good to be true. Maybe it's because they are so good that they are in fact true. So why not give them a try? My challenge to all of us this week is to pick one of the 8 Beatitudes and try to learn what it really means, and then to try to put that beatitude into practice. What does it mean to be meek, for example? Meekness, St. Thomas Aquinas says, is the virtue which moderates our use of anger. As you well know, we increasingly live in a culture of outrage, where every expression of anger is tolerated and even celebrated. Anger is not always bad, but it has to be kept within reasonable limits, limits defined by what is true and good. This is what it means to practice meekness. It doesn't mean to be a doormat, but it does mean not exploding at every person who disagrees with us or who causes us an inconvenience. Instead of snapping at someone this week, instead of sending an angry text or email, instead of spending gobs and gobs of time brooding over the person that has hurt us, let's try meekness. And quite possibly, if we do this, we will experience beatitude, supernatural happiness, the kind of beatitude which Christ promises to those who are meek. The good news, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is that Jesus isn't a used car salesman. He's not trying to sell us a lemon. The Beatitudes are a roadmap to true happiness, both in this life and in the life to come. Let's learn more about this roadmap, and let's try to follow it more closely this week. Amen.